Who can stop Jesus? Anybody have an answer for that? Say it again. What about for the people in the back row? And nobody can stop Jesus. And yet, we can bemoan the fact that millions of people worldwide are being sold. I think people are trying to let Jesus be known. But if nobody can stop Jesus, and we can be faithful in following him, what is it that we're doing that is showing that off, that Jesus is so awesome, so amazing? I told you earlier, just a few weeks ago, that the main ideas from Acts can be really probably fine-tuned even more so than this. But we have three things, three main ideas that we've been seeing through our study of the book of Acts. First of all, where is God? And that's a question that so many people have. And so we're going to find out where God is throughout Acts. We're going for the rest of the year after Acts, we're going through the epistles, which are letters from mostly from Paul, a couple from Peter, and then John wrote one or two. But listen to this. We also know that Jesus' followers, his people, his commercials, will look just like him. And finally, who can stop Jesus' church? Answers to this and so much of our lives are implicated. That means the answers to these questions come out in our lives. I love this question. Where is God? Many of us ask that question when we're in the middle of really difficult times. There was people that called me. I was out picking up trash, and I got a phone call from two of my friends from Monroe. They're like, gosh, are you guys all right? I'm like, what? Yeah, I've heard all of Sultan's flooding. I'm like, why don't you drive up here and check it out? Bring a garbage bag. Nice. Next time. I said, no, we're good. Thank you. But then there is some people, and a few of them from our church, that had a lot of water in their house yesterday. And they're asking, where's God? And maybe we can show them. God's right there with you. I got a chance to see my dear neighbors, and they were out for a walk, and we got to have a very quick theological conversation. I said, there's so much water downtown. And Brandon reminded me and his kids, man, God promised he'll never flood the entire earth again. But some of us are like, well, he's getting started. But no, he promises and he never will. No wide-scale destruction like that again. Where's God? He's in his people. Jesus' followers will look like him. And so I wrote this down this morning. Jesus being unstoppable leads to hope, inspiration, confidence, boldness, evangelism explosion, revival, and Jesus' kingdom flooding the world, pun intended. But jealousy of God's people and thinking God has left us and living that way will actually lead to ugly opposition and oppression of God's people. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6. Aaron, we're in Acts. I know the Old Testament exists as well. And we're going to spend a little bit of time in there today. A few different things really stood out to me about God and how unstoppable he is. And so some people answer the question of where is God with, I don't know. And some people say, right here inside me. And some people go to all the different ways that he's shown himself over time. And so I'll go back to a group of people in 2 Chronicles 20, where Jehoshaphat is the king, and he is really overwhelmed. And he doesn't know what to do, so he says, I'm coming to you, Lord. And then here's a little bit of his prayer. Chronicles 20, verse 6. If you don't have Bibles, I forgot to remind you, there's some underneath the chairs. A lot of you know that. We have been using them and going through them, and we're grateful. So grab it, take it, read it, believe it, live it. So Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. In Isaiah 14:27, he says, "For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? Who'll stop it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" And then go all the way back to Acts 5:17-18. Here's a response to the fact that God's people stood up and believed God so much that they were doing the things he said they would do. They're going and making his name known. They were planting seeds and watering it. They were seeing miracles happen, and they couldn't keep to themselves. And the high priest, who should have been praising God over this and rejoicing over this, instead did this. The high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles, and they put them in the public prison. They were trying to shut these guys up. They were frustrated with them. Let me ask you, if you've thought through this a little bit, maybe you've been reading on the app with us, and it's really just a little bit of reading. I encourage you to read a whole lot more, but even that little bit you could do. What were they jealous of? What do you think? What could they possibly be jealous of? They had nice homes, nice clothes, lots of notoriety. People were afraid of them when they'd show up. If there was trading cards, it would have their faces on it. So what were they jealous of? Good, attention. What else? Say it again. Whoo. You guys know that by this time, if we're keeping track, there was thousands upon thousands of people who were following Jesus. Thousands of them. It was a bumping ministry. And these guys were jealous. Jealous of the power, jealous of the authority, jealous of the notoriety, maybe even jealous of the faith. I want to tell you something. One of my favorite verses that's really overwhelmed me, and I memorized it in the NIV, but it goes like this in the ESV. Proverbs 14:12. "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." There's a way that seems right to us, but if it's just about us, it ends in death. Not that death alone, although include that. But death of dreams, death of marriages, death of finances. Well, I'm going to do this myself. Ecclesiastes 7:13. "Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he's made crooked?" Praying for a dear friend on Tuesday, and one of your elders was like, "Lord, we try to straighten out all the difficult things, and maybe you got something in the crooked that we would never, ever have happen in our lives if we just tried to straighten it all out." And finally, this one. Lots of people feel this, right? Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Do you know that means you can do the high and the low? Check it out in Philippians, because it's really, really powerful. And I know that a lot of people, even some people, have this today somewhere on their uniforms for the Super Bowl. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And we think that means, oh, they can run for that extra yard, or they can get into the end zone, or they can make that sack. Oh, gosh, that's really narrow-minded. Be a better commercial than that. When people come against you because of Jesus, you can do all things through him who's giving you strength. You can endure, you can enjoy, you can overcome. I find it fascinating that Josh would say Aaron would coach us. I believe that God has called me to do that in life, to teach and to coach and to lead and to help. And I've got lots of room for improvement. But if I keep making much of Jesus, he's going to make it grow. I may even get to see it in my lifetime. I'm praying it for my children. I'm praying it for you. I'm praying it for my grandchildren. I'm praying it for this whole community. Indeed, I'm praying it for this whole world. I'm praying it for Eden, because she's just testifying right now. That we would actually, and I encourage you, go back. If nobody can stop Jesus and we look like him, and nobody can stop us as the church because God is present in us, then what are you waiting for? I just got to get smart enough, man. I just got to see Jesus and feel Jesus move around me, and then I'll just join him. Friends, Peter had already seen a ton of things happening in life, but he hadn't quite felt all of it in his own life. I think by this time, his mother-in-law had been healed. And I don't know what your relationship with your mother-in-law is like. Mine is great. I'm grateful. I don't want her to ever be sick. But of all of the things I could think of, if my mother-in-law was sick and she got raised up and then started waiting on us, I don't know that that would be the number one. I'm like, oh my goodness, God's amazing. Maybe. But for him, he had probably seen that. He'd seen some people eat some food, but he saw something that just blew his mind. Jesus walking on the water in the middle of the night. And everybody thought it was a ghost. And he sees and he goes, don't be afraid, it's me. Take courage. He's literally in the language that they spoke. He says, take courage, I am. Like, I'm here. Yahweh's in the house on this lake. But you know what I mean. And Peter goes, okay, God, if that's you, can I do that too? Can I walk on the water? And Jesus said, come. I told you this last week, and I'll say it to you again. Jesus is saying, come, let's go. Let's go for a walk. For some of you, it feels as scary as getting out of a boat and trying to walk on the water. For some of you, it's just, I'm tired. I don't even know if I'm ready for this. If I can do all things through him who gives me strength. If, like it says in 1 Corinthians 3:6, that God includes me to be part of his work as a planter, as a waterer, and he's going to make it grow, then here's a question for us. What would you do for God if you knew it couldn't ultimately fail? I can't help myself. I've got to go for God. I've got to get out. I've got to take this stuff seriously. I've got to trust him and believe him. So what could you do? What would you do? For some of you, you might retire if you could. But I'm only 30. That's really a dream for many people. I'm going to retire, sit on a beach, be warm, maybe go for a swim, drink some amazing mango juice, read a book, sleep, get up, rinse, repeat. But some of you might try to make Jesus known in the public schools. Some of you might decide, making a bunch of money isn't all there is to life. I want to do something else that would make much of Jesus. Or I'm going to make a bunch of money and I'm going to give it away. I'm going to be like JCPenney, who said, I don't want to give 10% to God. I want to give 90% to God. And so he started to. And God made him so filthy rich that 10% is what he lived on and 90% is what he gave. Or maybe you just want to call your friend and say, gosh, this pastor was talking and I just kept hearing from God even with him talking. And I feel like I need to tell you my story. And I want to go out and have some food and I'll pay for it. And I just want to tell you my story. Maybe some of you would go and teach little kids. There are positions open right now. Some of you might go back to school. Not so you could learn everything about Jesus, because that's not possible, but you could learn more so you could share more and be more confident. Some of you want to go on a mission trip. Some of you want to go and do something. Some of you want to be something. Some of you are afraid you could fail, and I'm here to tell you, even when you fail, you don't in Jesus Christ. Everything counts when you trust Jesus and follow him. Everything. It just doesn't always happen the way you want it to, as quickly as you want it to. So we'll go back to the passage. They get arrested, right? And they get put in prison because these dudes are jealous of them and they're speaking in the name of Jesus. And so quickly, Acts 5, 19 through 21. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Go do what you just got arrested for. Hey, if at first you get arrested, go ahead and do it again. And so, when they heard this, they rolled over and said, "Leave me alone, 5 more minutes. They entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. See, because the daybreak part for me just kills me. I think about this, like, we're in prison. And then here comes an angel. What? Hey, go and preach. Okay. It's dark. Let's go preach right now before everybody sees us. No, man, they waited till daybreak when you could see them clearly. And they started preaching. And then these guys come to get them in jail. And gosh, you know what? They weren't there. And they're like, "Oh, what is this going to mean? We're going to be in trouble. This is crazy." And we'll pick it up in verse 25. And someone came and told all of the leaders, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." They got back on the horse and went for it again. And they knew they could get in trouble because they already had. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force. Not by force. This is basically the last time they will not grab people by force. Because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. They should have been afraid. A miracle had happened and they were fighting God. Look, when you stand up for Jesus, that's who you are standing up for. That's who you are honoring. That's who you are glorifying. Many of us are afraid to stand up and stand out because we haven't done it much. So get started. It's okay. Try. Pray. Start praying. God, Holy Spirit, open my eyes and my ears that I would see and do as you see and do, and help me to step out. Help me to go find a dude. I just keep thinking of this, Casey, because I'm a shoe guy. And so I keep thinking of you looking down at people's feet. "Hey, dude, my eyes are up here." No, I'm just trying. I'm trying to bless people. And then Ciara gets to see it, and you go, "Yeah, we're not going to see mom yet. We're going to the library." "What? Yeah, I got something I got to do. I got a thing God put on my heart." Dude, you're contagious. So, they were afraid of being killed to death by stones. Verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet here you fill Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Some of them were the same people that in the book of Matthew said, "His blood be on us and our children." They already wanted that. But now they're like, "Oh, hold on." Never mind the fact that they didn't rejoice or get scared of the fact that they had been set free and nobody knew about it. They ignored entirely that God had done something radical. See, if I'm being oppressed and I get a chance to be freed up from being oppressed, you know what I tend to want to do in my flesh and in my own attitude? Maybe I'll let you guys guess. What do you think I would do if I was being opposed and people didn't want me around and maybe even put in jail? But that's never happened to me yet. But let's say somebody's just like, "Oh man, Aaron, he's corny. He's always talking about Jesus. He's just got, I mean, have you seen him? Come on." And I find out about that. Do you think that my first inclination is to go hang out wherever they're at? Would yours be? Maybe, because you like to, you know, throw knuckles, let's go. But maybe if you just go and be that corny or be a Jesus freak or be a preacher or be a representative or be a commercial, and they're going to make fun of you some more about it, your first inclination is, "I'm going to sit this one out. No more. Dear friend, God is with you. He lives inside of you as his people. So be bold and take risks. You don't have to be dangerous for nothing, but be dangerous for Jesus. Step up and step out. My friend said a long time ago, "Aaron, I don't think it's really all that faithful to trust a God whose track record is perfect." And yet, it's kind of scary for us. I just don't really feel him. I'm just not even sure if he's going to be there. I'm not even sure I want to do that. Well, maybe you need to pray a simple prayer. God, help me to want you. Start there. For some of you, you already know, and you need to step out. So to encourage you to be, hey, Paige, are you up there? It's Paige's birthday. Will you say happy birthday with me? Thank you. Happy birthday, Paige. You're doing a great job of staying on this. We're going to go straight to 29. Listen to what happens. They arrest them again, but gently. It's so funny. Not by force. And they say, don't preach in this name anymore. You've got to stop trying to bring this man's blood on us, even though they were the ones that wanted Jesus dead. Verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. By the way, he had asked in 4 or 3. You're going to have to decide, should we listen to God or you? But as for us, we got to preach. We can't help ourselves. We've got to tell people about Jesus. Now he answers it for them. We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior. Those are messianic terms, and they would have known exactly what they're saying. Jesus is God. So he exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel, forgiveness of sins. Jesus didn't die just because. He died to give us freedom, forgiveness, repentance, and new life. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they didn't repent. They were enraged and wanted to kill them. But I'm here to tell you one more time, and then we'll finish with the story. Even if the wheels fall off, even if people hate you, even if you get everything you'd ever want, Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is still hope. Jesus is still strength. Jesus is still able, willing to make you more than you could ever imagine on your own. Save your marriage. Save your kids. Help you with your job. He'll also still be amazing if your kids are gone and your marriage ends in divorce and your job never, ever materializes. Please stop hearing that if you follow Jesus like a Disney flick, bippity-boppity-boo, all your dreams come true. It's not real. You know what's real? Pain and agony and Jesus being rad all the way through it. And so, they wanted to kill him. But an old man steps up and gives them some amazing counsel. And we'll pick this up right here in 34. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, by the way, he's the one who taught and mentored the Apostle Paul, who we're going to meet next week. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in high honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. Hey, kids, mom and dad got to talk. Go out. Men of Israel, take care of what you're about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census, and he drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men. Let them alone, for if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. Please stop for a second and look around you. Seriously, will you please just look around? I know it might feel a little bit awkward. You're not checking people out, but look around. There's humans right here around you, right? Look up here. This amazingly interesting piece of artwork exists in Sultan, Washington in 2020 with a artist rendition of Jesus with sheep. He's the great shepherd. Looks like Cro-Magnon Jesus, but the point is, they tried, and we've got this little church insulting. And there's four other ones here, five other ones here, and then you go up and down the valley, there's so many more. If it's of man, it will fail. Nothing about Jesus has failed. We are still worshiping him today. He is still God today, and he always will be. This one, Gamaliel says, if it's of man, it will fail. But, verse 39, if it's of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. You think? So they took his advice. They took his advice. Listen to what they do with his advice, just to kind of make sure their point was heard. And when they called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. I'm going to go back to Proverbs 21, 30 through 31 for you. Here's a reminder for you this morning before we go. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. I ask you this question again. What would you do for God if you knew that ultimately it wouldn't fail? Remember this, dear friends. Hi, Cletus.
Hi.
Good morning. God's with you. Be bold. Take risks. Trust Jesus. If you need to be prayed for, I'm going to ask that the elders and anybody who wants to pray with people for boldness, for courage, for taking risks, for clarity on what that looks like, to come on up. I don't think you need to go into your workplace or your school, stand on the lunch table and scream at people that they're sinners or going to hell, give your life to Jesus, or you're going to smell like smoke for eternity. But I do believe that you ought to live in such a way that people will want to know about the hope that lies within you. Casey pointed out, so as an evangelist, by the design of Yahweh, I did not pick this for me. But as an evangelist, I will tell you that you will be 100% faithless if you don't exercise faith. There's an old saying, and I think Wayne Gretzky gets credit for it, but you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So try. Share the good news. Pray for people that their eyes and their ears and their hearts will be open to the good news. And then look for ways and ask God to show you how you can share the good news. Does it count if you just go give shoes and socks to somebody who needs them and say, Jesus loves you? Of course it does. Does it count if you pick up trash and nobody sees you do it? Of course it does. Does it count if you have a deep, hard conversation with a loved one and say, look, I know what you got going on, and it just seems like it's all falling apart. Are you ready to come to Christ? He will allow a U-turn, man. He'll let you follow him. He'll let you be forgiven. He actually died for it. And so much more. Maybe, again, a mission trip. Maybe you want to go to another country and get your feet wet in a different place where they don't know you. I say start here and get yourself ready for that kind of a thing, but it's sometimes easier for some strange reason to go to another world and share the good news of Jesus, which is still good news here. In Haiti, I'll walk down the street and tell people that Jesus loves them. Is it Jésus Remeu? Is that how you say it? See, I couldn't even say, I try, like I'll speak it. And I'll tell people that, and I'll do this. And little kids will come out, and I'm like, oh, Jesus loves you, and we'll pray and say, how you doing? Not on your life have I done that walking down the streets of Sultan. And I'm not just saying I don't speak in Haitian Creole. I'm saying very rarely will I be like, Jesus loves you, bro, huh? But I might. I just might. God, I thank you so much for who you are, for how awesome you are. Thank you on this day when the world is going to, at minimum, celebrate excess and at maximum worship creation, that we can celebrate you, win or lose, because we will not fail because of you. And then we could worship you for how awesome you are. May we tell people and show people that Jesus loves them. I pray this in your perfect name. Amen. Stop it. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.